Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, June the 7th, 2012. Hope you're having a good afternoon so far in the early moments of this new afternoon on a Thursday. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI. We like to call it Tucson's Intelligent Voice. This is kind of, well, this is our first week of year two here on KVOI. They've been very wonderful hosts, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of this station. We thank them very much for making my producer, Rosemary Brandt, and myself, we call ourselves Team Buckmaster, feel very welcome. We stream the show live on buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, so we have two opportunities there to hear the program. And by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we will have had the day's show posted on one of three websites, my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, Dylan Smith, the editor and publisher there. We thank him for letting folks have our show through his website. And then, of course, tucsoncitizen.com, Mark Evans, and the Tucson Citizen website carrying the Buckmaster Show as well. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will begin with a newsmaker interview with Ramon Valadez. He is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. At 30 minutes past the hour, we will continue with our ongoing series introducing the Buckmaster Show listeners to candidates in the fall elections. Today, we meet Dave Joseph. Dave is a Democratic candidate for state representative in District 11. Then we'll close out the show with attorney Don Luce, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. If you would like to make a comment or if you have a question, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also take your questions on my website, buckmastershow.com, or use the Facebook page. Bill Buckmaster is our Facebook page, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. We begin now with Pima County Supervisors Chair Ramon Valadez. Supervisor Valdez, Chair Valdez, how are you?
I am very well. Thank you for the invitation to come and be on your show today, Bill.
Let's talk a little bit about does Pima County need another sports stadium? Pima County voters could be asked next year to approve a bond issue for a regional master sports plan. The County Sports and Tourism Authority is working with a designer to come up with a plan, but they first have to find money to pay for it. The end result would be a multi-purpose sports facility constructed. Marana officials say they might be interested in helping fund this enterprise. Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, Supervisor Valadez has cautioned the idea could become another Rio Nuevo, which, putting that out, just looks like the kiss of death.
Well, I'll tell you what, and part of the result of this is a result of many actions going back into the past of when spring training was actually leaving Pima County. And what happened then is the legislature authorized the Pima County through the Sports and Tourism Authority to have an election for an additional sales tax for the purposes of stadium or sports-related activities, and set the deadline at, I believe, either 2014 or 2013. The Sports Authority has now taken it upon themselves to start exploring the possibility. And part of the discussions that I've had with them is exactly that point in terms of a stadium. My concern would be that we have an existing stadium that still has debt.
And that is the Keno right. Veterans Memorial Stadium.
And so I would have a concern about funding a second stadium debt when there exists the stadium debt for the first stadium.
Why not improve that sports complex? It is underused. However, it is being used more. That is a fact. But why not put together something that would really – maybe a full sports complex there?
Well, two things. First of all, I think part of what their intent is to go out to the community in a similar way that we went out on the RTA and talk to the entire community and really kind of hear what it is they want to, what the community wants to have, whether it's another stadium, whether they want to improve the existing stadium. One of the things that we put out yesterday is a proposal to expand onto the south side of I-10 from the existing stadium, and to a proposal for a 19 soccer field super sports park, so to speak, where our kids' teams are going to be able to have soccer fields to play. We're going to have a small stadium, I believe, is going to have the capacity of about 8 or 9,000 people for the MLS spring training, and obviously all of them being
seating,
multi-purpose.
I have the memo in front of me from Chuck Huckleberry, this memo dated June 6th. The
right.
Seating would be up to 6,000 fans, as you say, 18 or 19 soccer fields. So this would become, the emphasis would really be on amateur sports.
Amateur and youth sports, exactly. And I know that the Sports and Tourism Authority are exploring that as well. So like I said, I have a concern about a second stadium only because of the debt. But again, I know that they're going to be going out, talking to the community, and ultimately we get a vote as a community. And so whatever package gets put together will be the one that we tell them we're interested in. So it's important that we take our voice be heard.
And the estimated construction cost, according to Mr. Huckleberry's memo, for such a facility, a sports complex, would be about $33 million. And how would that be funded, Supervisor?
Well, right now, if you take a look at the budget, proposed budget on the backside, part of it, we currently have the resources for the acquisition of the property. But obviously, the construction of the facility itself, he's forwarded the memo to the Sports and Tourism Authority for consideration in any package they put together, as well as the bond committee for the future bond.
So you say we don't really – why don't we explore this with our existing facility rather than going for a whole new stadium, something that I would believe that would be a very hard sell with this economy.
And I absolutely agree. Again, when I said that that our current stadium still has debt, I personally, both as a public elected official and as a citizen of our community, have concerns about funding a second stadium, and I've expressed them to the Sports Authority. I know that they're going to go out and have a conversation. I think at that time it's incumbent on all of us as members of this community to make sure and make sure the message is clear. We're interested in youth sports. We're interested in improvements to existing facilities. Are we or are we not interested in another stadium? And that's the question we have to make sure that we make very clear.
We are speaking with Ramon Valadez. He is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and he will be up for re-election along with the other board members. There is an open seat because Pima County Supervisor Ann Day is retiring. There are four Republicans who will be in the primary for that Ann Day seat in District 1, and there will be one Democrat in that particular race. And then each of the incumbents, the remaining incumbents, will have an opponent. Ramon Valadez, you will have Mr. James Kelly. Jim Kelly, he was on our show a week or so ago, and from what I determined from his issues, he says this board in this county is just not business-friendly enough.
No, I don't believe he said that, Bill. I believe he said there's a perception.
Oh, a perception. Well, thank you for correcting me.
And I'll tell you what, we've had, when I was here previously, if you remember, we've been at war over the truth. Some of our friends up north believe that if they say a lie often enough, that the lie can become a truth. And when you combat truth with fact, they just repeat another lie and think it's a truth. The issue, are we business friendly? You know what? Last August, we had Mr. Huckleberry put together a memo for us on the impact of the Great Recession and to start looking at ideas with the board, with our different departments, with our community, with our stakeholders about, you know what? What can Pima County do to become more business friendly?
And you went to your stakeholders. I have in front of me the Pima County Economic Development. Well, it's kind of your community response. You asked the stakeholders in the community to tell you and your board members, what do we need to move forward with economic development?
Right. And in January, we put together a plan, and then part of the directive that we as the board gave Mr. Huckleberry is we wanted to make sure that the stakeholders got to look at it, read it. And Bill, we got over 100 comments in writing and email and phone calls from the Pima Air and Space Museum, the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. We got Town of Marana, the Chambers of Commerce, Saba, all kinds of stakeholders throughout our community about how, first of all, what they liked, what they felt we could improve, and frankly, where we had some deficiencies. Because the plan, similar to the way we've done business, is that we want to make sure that our stakeholders, the people most affected by it, which in this case is everybody, because ultimately this is about jobs.
Have some of these been implemented?
Some of these have
these
implemented.
Recommendations.
Right. As part of the report that we had Mr. Huckleberry present to us in January, we've implemented a number of them, are already developing a strategy in terms of economic development. We've already done many of the regulatory reforms. Two weeks ago, what we did is we revamped our sewer fees to make it more, frankly, cheaper to promote that continued development. We've revamped some of the development costs, especially dealing with the scheduled increase certainly deferred that. We've, over the last 3 years, actually looked through our developmental services of what we can do to make the process faster, more efficient, and ultimately cheaper so that so we can continue to do more friendly things. We're working with a number of our other stakeholders. I mean, obviously, we talked last time where I had an interesting figure. Just in the capital improvements that Pima County has done, since 2006, we have spent almost $800 million and created or sustained nearly 12,000 jobs during that period of time. In terms of our economic development strategy, we've even gone obviously there's been fact-finding missions that we've had to different communities. When we found out that Raytheon was doing the expansion in Huntsville, that was one community that we went to. Obviously, initially got postponed because of the weather issues. But even if we try and compare ourselves to them, let's take a look at employers over 1,000 employees in the community. And if you look at the government employment in San Diego and Huntsville and Pima County, and that's the federal, state, and local government, in San Diego, 43.2% is public employment. In Alabama, in Huntsville, it's 55.8. In Pima County, 31.7. Private employers. In San Diego, 20.1%. In Huntsville, 24.1%. In Pima County, 37.6%.
So you're saying the government funding here is quite dramatically less than Huntsville, Alabama, and San Diego. We're going to take a break right here. Ramon Valadez is with us. He's the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. If there's something that you have heard that perhaps you don't agree with the chairman on, or if there's something you do agree with him on, if you'd like to make a comment or you have a question, 790-2040, 790-2040. The Buckmaster Show continues right after this.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for our program comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Coming up now on 12:22 on this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, Supervisor, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez, is with us in studio. We're talking about we've been talking about perceptions. There was the supervisor, your opponent in the upcoming election, says there is a perception that Pima County is not business friendly. We've been talking a little bit about that. There's also a perception that this county budget is somehow bloated, for want of another better word. Have you been cutting spending?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, we had to, Bill. Since the advent of the modern property tax system in Arizona, we have seen a few drops, the worst of which prior to this great recession that we've supposedly passed through had created a decline in the property tax base of 1.43%. And that had been the maximum before this time, 1.43% decline in the property tax base. Since the Great Recession we've gone through, we have thus far weathered a decrease in the property tax value in Pima County of 10.1% in aggregate.
Wow.
We're probably, before we're done, it's probably going to shrink another 6.6%. And again, there's, granted, most people seem to think that we're starting to show signs, and we are. But because by law, we use the property tax base from 2 years ago, there's a 24 to 36-month lag in what the county will see as opposed to what the rest of the economy sees. But we have shrunk it. I'll tell you what, since 2007-08, we've decreased the budget by a total of 17%. We've shrunk the employment base by 13%. And that's in spite of seeing the overall property tax levy decrease by 7.2%. The shared revenues, which is obviously another large source of money for us, we saw a significant low. Even today, it's still 17.2 million below their peak in 2006 and 7. We've seen cost shifts from the state anywhere from 6.1 million in fiscal year 2009-10 to 15.1 in fiscal year 11-12. And in aggregate, it's about $36 million in cost shifts at this point. So we've had to absorb a lot of those things. So obviously, we had to shrink the budget. We had to shrink the employment base as well.
The Republican Jim Kelly will be your opponent, James Kelly. He was with us on the Buckmaster Show a week or so ago, and I'm looking forward to actually having you and Mr. Kelly sit down before the election together here on the Buckmaster Show and hash out the issues. You know, there is also a perception that Pima County Board of Supervisors has kind of the final say on the Rosemont mine. The board is unanimous in their support against the mine. But the process that we are going through right now, I think there are five or six really key permits that Rosemont still has to obtain. So the Board of Supervisors does not have the ultimate say here.
Bill, and I'll be honest with you, they have done a fabulous job at creating a perception that the Board of Supervisors has the decision-making authority over whether or not the mine can or cannot come to this community. And I will tell you right now how many of the decisions that have to be made or have been made the Board has authority over. None. We took a position unanimously against the mine because we felt it wasn't in the best interest of our community, our environment, our future, our grandchildren. But we have absolutely no decision-making authority over whether or not they get permits, whether or not they can do the mine. But they've done a fabulous job at convincing people. Again, there's the myth versus fact. Myth is we have final decision-making authority. Fact, we have no decision-making authority over Rosemont Mine.
And I think the board's opposition to the Rosemont mine, because the Rosemont mine says that the mine is going to create X number of jobs, and by the board saying they are against the mine, suddenly the board is anti-business, anti-economic development.
I'll tell you what, we're the only governmental entity in the state of Arizona that's got an economic development plan. And as a matter of fact, not only have we shared it on our website, the 100-plus comments that you talked about earlier were as a result of sharing that to make sure that we try and make it better. We're looking essentially at four primary strategies and initiatives, and I'll talk about them very, very briefly. Number one, protect and promote our existing employers. Plan, develop, and execute expanded employment center options for aerospace, defense, biosciences, healthcare. Promote innovation by leveraging the intellectual capacity of the University of Arizona through medical diagnostics, physician training, downtown redevelopment, biosciences, engineering and water resources, solar, and revitalize our tourism. And all of this is available on our website. Many of the things we've been working on this for a number of years already. Some of them are continued efforts. We're committed to doing what we can to try and attract business to our community. One of the things we discovered in our trips and our studies is that you have to be willing to take such initiatives. And frankly, you have to be willing to take some risks. That's why we acquired the property by Raytheon, to try and, again, bring in some of the subcontractors that contract with Raytheon to make sure that they employ some of the young people in our community, so that when our young people graduate from the University of Arizona or any other institution, they can come back home and they can have a job here and they can raise a family here and live here like the rest of us.
And I have to wrap it up here very soon with Supervisor Ramon Valadez. What about the county banning the use of fireworks? Of course, there is a high fire danger right now.
Right, Bill. It's similar to what we did last year. It affects the unincorporated Pima County areas. Obviously, each jurisdiction has jurisdiction over their own areas. But what we felt is that we needed to make sure it generally affects the consumer fireworks, because obviously at this point it's a high fire hazard, and the smallest of sparks can spark a huge fire. And frankly, we need to make sure that we are proactive, not reactive, in trying to prevent such times. And you know what? maybe the best time to do such consumer fireworks is after a monsoon.
Yeah. All right. Supervisor Ramon Valdez, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Coming up now on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show, we will continue to talk politics. We'll be talking with one of the state representative candidates. Dave Joseph will be my guest in studio. He's running for the State House in the newly formed District 11. The Buckmaster Show on this Thursday continues right after this. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Activists in Syria accuse government forces of carrying out a new massacre, this time killing almost 80 people, including women and children. The UN says its monitors came under fire today as they tried to reach the scene of that latest mass killing in Syria. More severe weather is possible in the Rocky Mountain region, a day after storms pummeled Wyoming and Colorado. Federal prosecutors say investigators have busted a child porn ring that had spread across the U.S. and Europe. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 79 points at 12,494. The Nasdaq has gone negative. It's now down 3 points. The S&P up 4. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:34 in this portion of our program. Brought to you by a new sponsor. I want to welcome Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. I really like this place. I love antiques anyway. I like early Arizona painters, and they have it at Adobe House Antiques. And the building itself is beautiful, designed by the famed Tucson architect Josias Josler. They're located at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Well, between now and the fall elections, we will do our best here on the Buckmaster Show to inform our listeners and introduce them to as many of the candidates as possible. And there are a lot. This afternoon, we're spotlighting the House of Representatives three-way battle for two seats in District 11. The two Republicans are former State Senator Steve Smith, who steps down from the Senate and is running for the House in order to avoid a primary battle with State Senator Al Melvin. Then the other Republican candidate in the race is Adam Quasman, who managed Jesse Kelly's 2010 congressional campaign. On the Democratic side, there's one candidate, political newcomer Dave Joseph, who over his long media career, Dave has acquired and run local TV stations here in Arizona, Missouri, and Mississippi. Dave is now a consultant with the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA of Pima County. Dave and his family have been in Oro Valley. They've been residents there for over 20 years. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
So you're taking the plunge.
I'm taking the plunge.
Why did you decide you were going to get into politics?
Well, the RTA is a part of it, partly because of all the political stuff that I've been watching going on there, but also just the real reason, I think the most important thing, is the direction the state's been taken in, that I feel like the ideology is more important than finding real solutions, long-term solutions for the state. And no one was speaking up, and I felt like I had an obligation to step up.
This legislature over the last few years, Dave, has been so partisan. We've just not seen – I mean, even in my nearly quarter century here in Arizona looking at politics, I remember when I first came to Arizona to cover the news in the late 80s, people got along up in Phoenix, believe it or not, Dave. People worked across the aisle. There was a nonpartisan feeling that it's really what is best for the state of Arizona, not necessarily what's best for the folks who have the R after the name or the D. Would you like to get back to that?
That's exactly what I'd like to see, and that's one of the major reasons I'm running. We've lost sight of what's really best for the state, and like I said, in terms of ideology, ruling everything and making decisions that don't make sense for the long term. Eliminating kids care, for example, is costing us more in the emergency room costs that are much more expensive than providing preventive care for children. So those types of thoughts, finding the money for those programs, I think, are critically important. And instead of giving away yet another capital gains tax to businesses, and I think businesses are important. I come at it as a small business person. I've run, as you mentioned, several TV stations, and those stations were broken. I always buy the broken station and turn it around by refocusing resources, by empowering my people. One of the things that I really hate that I always hear as a talking point is how bad government is. And having worked for 2 years at the RTA and being involved with other governmental people my whole life, those people work hard. They deserve our respect. And are there some bad apples? Sometimes. But in any company, you're going to have that. So I think we really need to recognize and build up how we treat the people who are making our government happen and encourage them to be innovative and find ways to more effectively use our state tax dollars to make things happen for all of us.
And you have been involved with the RTA, and one of the things that I've liked about the RTA is really you have a lot of different thoughts on the RTA board, these decision makers for each of their community. They really have to kind of leave the egos at the door, and they have to follow a plan that was approved by the voters of what's best for this community.
That's right. It's all about consensus, and that's one of the beauties of the way it's structured. We get pushback sometimes about the city not having the weighted voting that would allow them to have a bigger role as they perceive it. But there is such an effort to make everybody work on a regional basis and focus on the region. The people put aside their parochial interests at the door when they come into an RTA board meeting, and there's good debate, and people do represent their constituencies, but they do listen. And that's what I like to see on the legislative side, too. It's not R's and D's. It's all about Arizona.
Speaking with Dave Joseph, he is a Democrat. He'll be involved in a three-way battle for the state House of Representatives. And if you don't follow politics very closely, when it's a three-way battle, it's the top two vote-getters who will ultimately get the seats at the state capitol. Now, this is an education process, Dave, for all of us, these new districts. I'm still learning about it. I think all of our listeners are. Describe for me basically what District 11 is all about.
Okay. It's partly the old 26, but there are other pieces too, and that would be the town of Marana, the town of Oro Valley. We go down to Picture Rocks on the west side of the freeway. Then we go all the way up to the town of Maricopa, which I think is at the Pinal County northern border.
It is.
It's a long way away. And the population centers are Maricopa, Marana, and Oro Valley.
Well, I'm glad to say, though, that this radio station, the strongest news talk station in Tucson, goes all the way to Maricopa and beyond, as we have a very strong signal here. So certainly everywhere in District 11, you are hearing my voice right now. So you talked a little bit about some of the issues, kids care. What are some of the things that you've put at the top of your agenda on your issue list, Dave?
Well, I look at one of the things that I found very concerning about the legislature over the past 4 years has been the way, again, contrary to the RTA, they've been pretty well unwinding what the voters have told them that they wanted in the initiatives. And I'd like to see initiatives that the voters told us they wanted fully funded the way they were supposed to be.
And that's been one of the controversies kind of with the RTA. The city has talked about, well, why don't we do something else? Take some money from the RTA and fix some potholes, but that wasn't really in the plan that voters approved. So you believe that even on a state level, if the voters say they want this, why should the legislature change it?
Yeah, I think they have an obligation. We're here to do the will of the voters, and if things have changed, then maybe there should be another initiative. But to just say, hey, you know, we're not going to fund it, I think is the wrong way to go and is a bad message, not respecting the will of the voters.
You know, getting back to your district, it is weighted to the Republican side. However, as that independent group grows, and independents now are the largest percentage, as you know, Dave Joseph, of any of the voting blocks, that independent vote is going to really make or break your race, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There are actually more independents in the district than Democrats. And in talking, and this has been part of the real fun of the campaign, is talking to everybody and getting out there. You know, again, you know, focusing as a small business person, starting out in media, I started out as a salesman, which meant I was meeting with all kinds of small business people, learning about their business and their customers and how to make it work. So that's what I'm doing again, which is, and it's just so much fun. But I'm getting a lot of frustration out there that they want a legislature that's working for them, that they have a part of. And this is not just independents, but Republicans too. So
they want a responsive legislature.
Yes, and they want to stop the stuff that's perceived as extreme or crazy. And they want to focus on things that will build the state, economic development, solar power, you know, the whole health care issue, funding our university, and, of course, funding education.
And you have been in the media many years, and you were associated with local television, correct?
I was I was a Channel 18 way back in the early 90s, and then I was a general manager of Channel 13 when we moved the facility to Marana.
As you look at this campaign, when you think about structuring this as a political newcomer, are you getting advice from other folks, or how are you kind of – I'm just curious, how does one structure running for state legislature? Is it kind of flying by the seat of your pants initially?
To an extent, yeah. There are some resources out there, and part of running as part of a party, there are some – you're getting guidance from other people in the party. I'm very fortunate to be running with Jo Hult for Senate, and she's already got a team in place. And I came to it kind of late. I've been at it about a month and a half now, and all the focus was getting on my petition signatures. Now I'm still looking to finish up raising the $5 donations I need for clean elections in the district. But
we'll be interviewing Jo Hult in the future as well, and she will be running on the Democratic side against State Senator Al Melvin. And it can be a difficult situation when you are up against someone who gets a lot of publicity, like Al Melvin.
Right.
Good or bad publicity, it's like the old thing, maybe it's bad publicity, but just spell the name.
Yes,
right.
his name is out there.
The name recognition is really important. And that is something that Joe will probably, one of the issues she will have to overcome. So right now, you said you've been out talking to voters. You're going and doing the door-to-door thing?
Doing a little bit of that, mm-hmm. partly right now in support of Ron Barber as well, so that's kind of a double hit. And then we're looking down the road at places where we can meet a lot of people and get the message out, asking people to check into my Facebook or my webpage at daveforld11.com and become a part of the campaign. That's one of the focuses now, is kind of building up a cadre of people to help get the message out and get me name recognition.
And you're on Facebook as Dave Joseph?
Well, and also Dave for LD11 there too.
Okay.
Everything's Dave for LD11.
All right, Facebook. We have found on the Buckmaster Show it has been a wonderful tool for promoting our program and telling our Facebook friends as we continue to grow to over 2,100 friends about what's coming up on the show. I tell you, social media, there are some advantages, right?
Absolutely.
Dave?
But you need the broadcasting to bring people to the social media.
There you go. Dave Joseph, thank you very much. Dave is a candidate, State House of Representatives, as a Democrat in District 11. And you'll meet all the candidates here on the Buckmaster Show. Dave, good luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We continue with the Buckmaster Show. Don Luce is next.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition, and attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, whose offices are here in Tucson and Phoenix, joins us now. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He joins us once a month, and he's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Counselor, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And the Arizona Laws 101, I know the revision just about finished.
It's finished, and it should be available in bookstores and online next month.
And there have been a lot of revisions. And we live in a state where to say it's active legal-wise would be an understatement.
Bill, it's incredible. Arizona is at the forefront of the law, both with regard to the court cases and the bills passed by our legislature. It's phenomenal, and it's a great place to not only practice law, but to talk about the law.
Is there any reason why you think that might be, that we have so much legal action?
I think Arizona has always been a state that has not been afraid to be different and to make change. And the law, in many regards, changes with people's perception of change. And Arizona is one of those states that's at the front of that.
Arizona voters are being asked to give Governor Brewer and her successors more power over who they appoint as judges. And Don Luce, I think this is an area when it comes to the appointment of judges, generally speaking, the voters, the public, really are pretty much out in the dark on this process.
I think you're right, Bill. And even the retention process is kind of mysterious to most lay people. So starting at the beginning, how do you become a judge? Well, if you want to become a Superior Court judge in Maricopa County or Pima County, or you'd like to be appointed to the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court, you first need to go before a judicial nominating committee, which consists of 15 people, five of whom are attorneys appointed by the state bar, and 10 of whom are non-attorneys. And that commission will go through a selection process, hopefully to pick the best candidates, and then send a very short list to the governor, consisting of three nominations, and the governor picks from that short list. Now, Proposition 115, which will be on the ballot this November, would change that system so that not only would the governor have a greater say in how the Judicial Nomination Commission is comprised, in other words, she'll be able to appoint most of the people on the commission, but she'll also get a list of eight nominations as opposed to three. So that's the basics of Proposition 115.
It's expanding the pool that she has to choose from.
Exactly. And some people would say that it's expanding her powers because she'll have the ability to not only basically select the people who select the candidates, but then select from a wider range of candidates and appoint the judges in that fashion. The current system, the proponents would say, really does promote merit selection. The best of the best get sent to the governor, and politics pretty much stays out of it. At least that's how the argument goes. The people who are in favor of expanding the system say that the State Bar of Arizona, which currently selects the five attorneys who serve on the commission and, you know, sort of drive the commission, they say that the State Bar currently has too much power, and that by doing it this way, you'll essentially allow the process to be more evenly spread between the executive and the judicial branches.
And until 1974, all judges in Arizona were elected.
Correct.
Yeah.
And in fact, in most of our counties, that's still the case. If you're up in Flagstaff or you're over in Yuma and you want to become a Superior Court judge, you stand for election and you stand for reelection. Now, in the two most populous counties, Pima and Maricopa, that's not the case. And it hasn't been the case, as you pointed out, since 1974, when through a previous ballot initiative, our Constitution was amended to require essentially merit selection in the two largest counties. And what happens in those counties, Pima and Maricopa, is that once the governor selects from the short list sent to her from the screening panel, that judge then stands for what is known as retention every 4 years. But the retention is a simple up or no vote, yes or no. And that's the sort of the last page of the ballot that everyone
gets. It's really the end of the line, isn't it? And by that time, a voter fatigue has set in, and who knows? People don't know who these people are. So,
well, interestingly, of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of judges who have stood for retention since 1974, only two of them have ever been essentially rejected or voted out of office. So once the governor appoints, it's pretty much, it's not a lifetime appointment, but the odds are good that unless the judge does something major to screw up, he or she will remain in office until retirement.
Merit selection is used across the country, but of course, as you say, some of the smaller counties still use the standing for election.
Correct. And, you know, interestingly enough, even though the counties are small on a relative basis, some of the counties are quite large on an absolute basis. Flagstaff, for instance, is a fairly large city in what would be considered a, quote, small county. And Yuma is very populated in Yuma County. And so Prescott in Yavapai County. So there are places in Arizona that do have concentrations of population, and yet they're still on the voter method for judicial selection. Those judges have to, as politicians do, run for election and run for re-election.
We're speaking with Attorney Don Luce. He is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. And speaking of judges who have, well, I guess it's pretty difficult to fire a judge, but not to retain, as you said, only two have not been retained. But when it comes to attorneys, kind of the area of last resort, is disbarment. And we have in Maricopa County, the Arizona Supreme Court declining a request by a former Maricopa County prosecutor to let her continue practicing law until the court rules on an appeal of her disbarment.
That's right. This is the case involving Andrew Thomas and his deputies. One of his deputies, Lisa Aubuchon, is asking the Supreme Court, or has asked the Supreme Court, I should say, to stay the disbarment recommendation from the ethics panel. What that would have the effect of doing is allowing her to practice law while her appeal to the Supreme Court is pending. And the Supreme Court said no. Effective July 2nd, your disbarment will take effect. And of course, a lawyer who is disbarred by the state bar cannot legally practice law in the state of Arizona.
Taking away, in effect, that individual's livelihood.
Absolutely. The same happened to Andrew Thomas. The other deputy did not get a disbarment, but sanctions, I believe, were entered by the ethics panel. So how this all came about, of course, was there was an ethics complaint filed with the state bar. And in that ethics complaint, the county attorney and his deputies were alleged to have broken criminal laws in bringing a false bribery charge against a sitting judge. Very, very serious charges. And a three-member ethics panel agreed that those attorneys had acted unethically. And with regard to two of those attorneys, pulled their licenses. And so that's what this case is about.
Let me ask you, how unusual is a disbarment of an attorney in this
state? Very. We have over 20,000 licensed attorneys in the state of Arizona, and I would venture to say that not more than one or two or three of them on a monthly basis face anywhere near this kind of sanction. The Arizona Attorney Magazine, which the State Bar of Arizona publishes, contains information about disciplinary proceedings. And so we actually see the names of the attorneys against whom sanctions have been entered. And it's very rare to see disbarment. This kind of stuff is extraordinary.
Well, Arizona lawyers, it's okay now to use a pen name. Don Luce, you being an author of two books, I guess this hits close to home for you, but you use your real name, so it shouldn't be a problem for you unless you are working on a mystery novel or something that
you
haven't told us about.
No, not yet. This came from the State Bar of Arizona. A lawyer anonymously asked if, in writing a mystery novel, he or she could use a fictitious name. And what this goes to is a rule that the state bar has, and that is that a lawyer cannot use or employ any false or misleading communications about himself or herself. And the concern that this lawyer apparently had was, well, if I use a you know, a fake name, am I violating this ethical rule that says I can't that I can't use a false or misleading communication? So what the state bar said was simply this. Yeah, we recognize that this ethical rule exists, but when you're doing something that involves a non-legal activity, it's okay.
Well, the author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, is Don Luce. He's also the author Estate Planning in Arizona. He's also a guest on this program every month, and we thank him very much. Don Luce, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Want to tell you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our good sponsor, Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. What's the secret to Culligan? Well, folks, it just tastes better. The Buckmaster Show, also brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, CPAs. If you need a CPA, we strongly recommend a call to Michael C. Flowers. That'll do it today for the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Legendary restaurant operator Janos Wilder will be our guest tomorrow on Friday Focus. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice. Good News Radio Network.